And really the little text that we're going to hone in upon is 1 Corinthians 15 and 14. And it's that phrase, if Christ be not risen. If Christ be not risen. We're going to take that statement and look at the consequences of it for us tonight. If Christ be not risen. When it comes to the resurrection, you and I live in a world of denial. There are a great majority of people in our world who believe in the death of a man called Jesus Christ. In fact, if you go into work or you talk to maybe those of your family who aren't Christians and you ask them, do you believe in a man called Jesus Christ? Most likely they will say yes. If you ask them, do you believe in a man called Jesus Christ who lived on this earth and died on the cross? They will most probably say yes. They may not agree or understand why he came, who he was, why he died, but most will agree with the fact that Jesus Christ was a man who lived on this earth and who died a cruel death. They believe he died just like any other man in history. However, by and large, I think it's fair to say that that same majority will refute the resurrection. You see, since that triumphant day, the world has sought to disprove the truth, discourage the Christian, and thus disregard the gospel. The normal man on the street thinks it inconceivable and impossible that the Lord Jesus Christ could and did rise again from the dead. And therefore they conclude that there was no past resurrection, which then means that there is no future resurrection for anyone who dies. I know people, I'm sure you do as well, maybe you're one of them tonight, who believes that when a man or woman dies, he simply lies where he falls. He simply believes that like a tree, that when life ends, we're simply cut down and our body goes to the ground, that life is finished and that's the end. How sad to live trying to escape the resurrection. Of course, any of you that have been to a Christian funeral, we often, as those that do the committal at the graveside, we often bury, and it's a great joy to bury or place the body of a saved loved one into the ground, and we do it in the sure and certain hope that at the resurrection of that, the rapture of Jesus Christ, their body will be raised again and will be reunited with their soul, and they will live in that new life with the Lord. However, that's not the case for everyone. There's many try to escape the resurrection. In the city of Hanover, there is a graveyard which has been closed for a number of years, simply called the Garden Churchyard. Owing to its antique monuments and the fact of its being the resting place of a number of celebrated characters, it awakens the liveliest curiosity. A few paces east of the unassuming little church in the graveyard is a monument tottering from its foundation. It is built in the form of steps, and the massive stones are secured in heavy iron clasps. The monument was erected in 1782. Beside the usual family inscriptions, at the base of the monument are engraved these arrogant lines: "The sepulchre purchased for all eternity is not permitted to be opened." Opposed to this determination of man, a beech seed, perhaps carried by the wind, found its way into a crevice of the foundation. In the course of years, this little seed grew to be a strong, luxurious tree that mocked the proud inscription of the monument. It raised the massive stones from their foundation and rent the strong iron clasp asunder. That open grave reminds the visitor of that graveyard of the mutability of earthly scenes and the fallacy of man's resolution to project plans to last for all of eternity. You see, it is impossible for you and I to avoid the resurrection. For the believer, we will be raised again with Christ in that last day, our bodies reunited together to have that one, that glorious body. But for those who die outside of Christ, they'll be raised again to everlasting judgment. Coming back to the resurrection, as one commentator says, Christianity is based on historical facts, not on human reason or imagination. It is neither an ingenious hypothesis to account for any phenomena, nor a poetic myth to subdue any truth. It is based upon facts. That said, however, we come to a chapter in the Bible where the Apostle Paul dealt with the implications of no resurrection. He sets out a dreadful hypothetical scenario, if Christ be not risen. Even from the time of when Christ was on earth, people like the Sadducees denied any possible resurrection. Certainly after the resurrection, there were those who followed in a similar line of thinking and lived to discourage Christians. That was the case here in Corinth. There were those, as it says in verse 12, there were some among you that say there is no resurrection of the dead. So what we want to do this evening is we want to take that thought and develop it out. If Christ be not raised, the consequences for Christianity are inconceivable. So we're going to look at four very simple things tonight. And I trust as we break this a statement down that if you're not saved tonight, you will have something to think about. Number one, if Christ be not raised, Christians have no foundation. Christians have no foundation. Verse 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, Christians have no foundation. You know, the truth tonight is this. If Christ is not risen, then Christianity crumbles. The very core of Christianity is Christ, but he can't be. He can't be the very core if he's not alive today. You see, this is the one unique claim that Christianity has over every other religious system. In fact, as preachers, we often go to great lengths to state that real Christianity isn't a dead religion. Rather, it is a living, daily relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Christianity is. It's not a title. It's not something that we seek to practice like any other religion. Rather, it is a living, daily relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to pause there at this point just for a moment, and perhaps you're here this evening and you would say, you know what, I'm a Christian. When you maybe go into hospital or you get one of those forms and it asks you to put down your religion, perhaps you write the word Christian. But there's many millions who claim to be Christians that aren't. And I want to ask you, if you've taken the title, have you taken the man that's the center of it? Can I ask you tonight, personally, have you got that living, daily relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you had that point in your life where you came to trust him as your own and personal Savior? Rather than signing up to a system, have you accepted the Savior? However, if the Lord Jesus isn't alive right now, then the truth is this, that the resurrection is a myth, and he simply takes his place among a multitude of martyrs. Furthermore, if the Lord Jesus didn't rise, then life has no meaning, and death simply marks the end of the line. When the Lord died, he did so like any other human being. The moment he gave up the ghost, his soul separated from his body. Like anyone else, after he died, he was buried. Naturally, his body became cold and stiff. His blood ceased to circulate and his lungs halted in their heaving. But what happens is some have tried to get round the resurrection by saying that Christ didn't really die, but rather he went into a deep coma. He wasn't fully dead, but that's not what the Bible says. Rather, he died like any other man. So what happens then is if he didn't go into a coma, then the next conclusion is that because that there was nothing abnormal about his physical death, and because science can't reconcile the resurrection, they simply say it was impossible. The natural assumption is to apply those same limitations to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because nobody else can naturally rise from the dead, then those limitations must apply to the Lord. However, we often say that while Jesus was as much a man as we are, dear friend, tonight he is not such a man as we are. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is fully God and fully man. And therefore, rather than resting on science, we can rely on the scriptures that say the things which are impossible with man are possible with God. In Acts 2 and 24, a verse central to this whole resurrection story and a verse that so many Christians hold so dearly to, we read of how God hath raised him up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Among other things, one of the very foundations of our faith is that the Lord Jesus came to deliver us from death. We believe that the wages of sin is death, man's most dreaded and damning foe. As Paul goes on to point out in verses 21 and 22, by man came death, and in Adam all die. And therefore, dear friend, tonight I need you to pause and listen very carefully. If Paul says in Adam all die, you and I are born naturally in Adam. That means that you and I tonight have this inevitable, impending, irreversible day to face. What happens next? The moment you breathe your last breath, what happens next? Well, if Christ is dead, then nothing. Christ be not risen, we will be victims of death rather than victors over death. But thinking back to our verse in Acts 2, he was raised because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. That foundation remains firm that there is hope in Christ because of the resurrection. We are subject to death, but he was superior over it. He died but rose. We don't have a shallow or shaky foundation. We have a sure foundation, which is the living Christ. And here's the reality tonight. We will all still die. That's a physical part of life. It's a sad reality because of sin. But what the Bible talks about when it speaks of death is eternal separation from God forever. And dear friend tonight, if Christ be not raised, then we're all lost. Christ be not raised, we have no hope beyond the grave. Furthermore, Paul made it clear that if Christ is still dead, then we have no message to preach. He goes on to say in verse number 14 that our preaching is vain. That means that here, myself, along with every other man standing in a pulpit tonight preaching the gospel, if Christ not risen, we're wasting our time. What is the center of the gospel? Very simply, trust Christ alone. Acts 16 and 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Why? Because Acts 4 and 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. However, that message holds no merit if Christ is dead. If Christ be not raised, hope has no foundation. We have no message for the multitudes in this sin-cursed, sin-crippled world. There's no light to shine into darkness, which is why other religions push good works. That's why other religions push doing your best, push living a good life, push being a good neighbor. All those things are good. But those are pushed because every other religion has no concrete foundation. Every other religion is dead tonight. You take every other faith that people subscribe to, the head of those faiths is either dead or some fabricated idol.
And so naturally there must be strings added to the bow. And if Christ be not raised, Christianity is in the same boat. Without a living Messiah, we have no life-changing message. However, thanks be to God that the Christian through Christ claims to have had their consciences purged from dead works, and now we're saved to serve the living God. Thank God tonight that the Christian has been delivered from dead works and we have been made alive and we now know the living God. Dear friend, tonight, do you know Him? You see, the reality is Christ is risen. And He stands as that firm, immovable, steadfast foundation of our faith. Can I ask you tonight, what's your foundation? What have you staked all of eternity upon? As Gareth spoke to the boys and girls this morning, is your life built upon the rock Christ Jesus? That when the waters of death come and they sweep over your life, that your foundation will remain firm and carry you through. I wonder tonight, is your foundation just like sand? It's made up of religion, works, good living. Oh, dear friend, they're good for this life. But when the waters of death sweep across your life, the sand will simply dissolve and the house will come crumbling down. What's your foundation tonight? If Christ be not raised, Christians have no foundation. But Paul develops this question, or this hypothesis, a little bit further, and he says, if Christ be not raised, then Christians have no faith. Because he says in verse 14, Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Christians have no faith. You know, this chapter in this particular section is built like a pyramid. Each statement rests on the stone beneath it, and the Christian's faith is placed on the foundation, which is Christ. Our assurance for heaven isn't based on the church we go to, nor is it based on the ordinances we partake in. We don't have faith in our baptism. We don't have faith in communion. We don't have faith in our prayers. We don't have faith in our participation in the church. We don't do pilgrimages. We don't practice penitence. We don't put faith in any of those things. Rather, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, our boast, our faith as believers is in atonement, not activity. Our faith is in a person, not in participation. You know, here's the very real truth tonight, and let's hope it never happens, but the fact that I'm saved by faith, and I'm saved by grace, is not anything that I have done. And the very true reality of my faith is this: I could stop preaching tonight, I could stop going to church tonight, I could do all of those things, and tonight I know that if I died, that the Lord Jesus Christ would still be enough. It's not based on what I can do, it's based on my faith in Him and what He has done. You see, it's based on that person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe wholeheartedly that He came into the world to save sinners. We believe that He personally went to the cross and was delivered up by the determinate counsel of God, foreknowledge of God, for our offenses individually. And that's vitally important, dear friend, tonight, if you're ever going to be saved. I spoke to those in the past, and my, they believe Jesus Christ went to the cross, and they even believe that Jesus Christ went to the cross to die for sin. But dear friend, have you ever seen Him dying for your sin? You see, to ever be saved, you need to see Him individually dying for you. You need to see Him there, regardless of every other sinner in the world, see Him on the cross for you alone. You see, as Christians, we believe that He took our place
and our punishment upon the cross of Calvary, we also believe that faith in Christ alone brings assurance of a home in heaven. After all, is that not what the Lord Jesus himself said in John 14 and 6? Maybe a verse you learned in Sunday school. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In John chapter number 10, remember the Lord spoke about the sheepfold, and if any man climb up another way, he can't enter in. And then he says in that same passage, I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. He's the door. We have no other hope for heaven. We have placed everything upon the Lord Jesus. It's not faith plus works. It's not faith plus our efforts. We believe in faith alone. Jesus simply said, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We have simply taken Jesus at his word. The problem is our faith is futile if Christ be not raised. We cannot trust these truths. If Christ be not raised, we have no assurance. Of course, the devil doesn't want us to have faith. He prefers us to put our trust in tangible things. After all, the Bible defines faith as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The devil will whisper to your heart tonight, how could you have faith in such a fable? That a man named Jesus could really rise again. He doesn't want us to believe the truth. Rather, he wants us to believe a lie. Why? Because he's the father of lies. Oh, the devil will want us to believe a false gospel that's centered less upon Christ and focused more upon what we can do to get right with God. However, just because the Lord Jesus isn't on the earth today doesn't mean we can't place our faith in him. He is very much alive in heaven. Think about it like this. Maybe not the best analogy, but hopefully it'll help you maybe understand this. Imagine you had a far-off relative, a relative in another country that you hadn't seen in many, many years. You have letters from them, and you hear regularly from them also, but you haven't seen them in person in a lifetime. Would you doubt their existence? Of course not. And likewise today, it says of the Lord that after he rose again from the grave, he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. In fact, in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, look at Paul's record of the post-resurrection sightings of the Savior in verses 4 to 8. It says, and he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And then note this, that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. And then after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. Last of all, he was seen of me, Paul, also as one born out of due time. Oh, dear friend, not only were there many living witnesses who testified of his resurrection, but here's the greatest proof that he lives today. We also have the living Word of God. The Bible, which also testifies of his rising again. You know, many try to complicate the gospel, but it is simply about believing and receiving. I want to ask you again, if you haven't yet placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, what are you depending on after death? What are you depending on after death? If you should die tonight, and if it were possible for God to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? What's your hope for heaven? You trusting yourself? Oh, dear friend, is it not better to trust the only ever-living one, the one who has died, yea, rather, is risen again and is seated at God's right hand? If Christ be not raised, Christians have no foundation
Christians have no faith, but thirdly, and perhaps this is the most significant of it all, if Christ be not raised, Christians have no forgiveness. You see, in verse 17, Paul goes on to say, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. And yet, note these words, ye are yet in your sins. The picture only gets more bleak if Christ be not raised. If the tomb stayed sealed and Christ remained dead, then all hope of having our sins forgiven fades away into the darkness. Certainly, the Christian lifestyle will make you a better person. Now, the Bible is a good moral guidebook, but if that's all Christianity is, if in this life, as Paul says, we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If the Lord Jesus simply came to earth to live as an example and die as a martyr, then we are still without hope. This earth has had its fair share of good role models. There have been many upstanding exemplary citizens on earth. Yes, albeit there has never been a man like the Lord Jesus Christ. However, what good is it if we gain the whole world but lose our own soul? What is the point of memorizing the scriptures if we miss the Savior? For these are they which testify of him. Some believe that life is about working hard, doing your best, living well, and then dying in peace. However, that kind of thinking is one of the devil's biggest delusions. Yes, the Lord Jesus did come, and he did live an exemplary life. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was there any guile found in his mouth. Never man speak like him, never man walk like him, never man live like him. He was holy and harmless and separate from sinners. We thank God for his sinless, perfect and pure life, for if there had been any blemish, he could never have made atonement for your sin or mine. Nevertheless, dear friend, tonight, Jesus Christ did not come to this earth primarily to set an example. Rather, Jesus himself said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Paul put it plainly, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came from heaven to be hung on a cross. He came from heaven to be the substitute for sinners. He came from heaven to be punished on our behalf and to purchase our forgiveness from God. Why? Because he loves us. I don't know what your thought is about the Lord Jesus tonight. Maybe you've never thought about him. But I want you to remember something tonight. Should you go out and reject the Lord, I want you to know that he loves you with an everlasting love. You're loved by God tonight. I don't care who you are, what you've done, no matter how much you've sinned, no matter how much you've disobeyed God, no matter how much a mess your life is, no matter how antagonistic you are, maybe you don't agree with one word that I've said tonight, that still doesn't alter the fact that you're loved with an unconditional, unchanging love. It's an everlasting love. You see, every single one of us have sinned against God from we were born. We owed a great debt that we could never pay, and we cannot change our standing before God on our own. And as he looks at our lives across every person's life, he can only write one word, guilty. Ever after the cross, after the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all, God is now able to write forgiven. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross shed his own precious blood to blot out our sins. The problem is, if Christ be not risen, we are still in our sins. We can have no forgiveness. The wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God. If Christ had have stayed dead, then he too would have been a victim of it. Hell would have won and Satan would be victorious. However, Paul made it clear in Romans 4 and 25 that not only was the Lord delivered for our offenses, but he was raised again for our justification. In rising again, we have been guaranteed full forgiveness and absolute acceptance with God.
God upon taking Christ as our Savior. In a moment, as soon as you accept Christ, you can be saved where you sit. All condemnation can pass away. But you know, this statement we've just read is one of the saddest conclusions about any life. Ye are yet in your sins. You maybe have everything you could ever want in life. You perhaps have much hope in this life, but what about the next? If you have never trusted Christ, then you're still in your sin and therefore sure of eternal punishment in hell. But Jesus Christ, in rising again, offers full and final forgiveness forever. We are not forgiven because we deserve it, but because of the grace of God. Paul said, Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but praise God, being quickened again by the Spirit. The Bible makes it clear that only God can forgive sin, and therefore to ever know true forgiveness, you must accept God's gospel. We need not confess our sins to any other person, pastor or priest, only to God alone. And on account of Christ's resurrection, we can know full forgiveness. Time has beat us, and we're going to finish off this evening. If Christ be not raised, Christians have no foundation. They have no faith. We realize that if Christ be not raised, we have no forgiveness. But to top it off, if Christ be not raised, we have no future. You see, in verse number 18, Paul says, then they also which are fallen asleep or have died in Christ are perished. Then he goes on to say, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. One of the great comforts for Christians who lose saved loved ones is, number one, that they have gone to be with Christ, which is far better. And number two, they will see them again someday. However, that future hope again dies if Christ be not raised. If Christ be not raised, then they cannot be with him when they die. If Christ be not raised, we will not be reunited with him or them in a coming day. Death becomes this dark, cold, impersonal event that simply brings the curtain down on life. Again, verse 19, Paul's point in this, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Life is good when it's going good. But when there's nothing left to live for here, how awful then to have no future to look forward to. So we draw this meeting to a close. Surely there has to be more meaning to life than this. There has to be more than suffering and sickness and sadness and struggles. Wouldn't it be awful to go through life with all of those things and then just simply die? You see, there is for the Christian. We have a living Savior who has gone to prepare a place for us, a place where God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. On the cross, not only did the Lord Jesus purchase our pardon, but he has also promised us this privilege of heaven. We trust all these promises because Christ is risen. We can rejoice in the fact that God has begotten us again onto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Oh, heaven's a wonderful place, not because of the streets of gold, not because of the fact there's no death. All those things are wonderful, but the fact that because Christ is there. And you know, no matter how bad or bleak things turn out here on earth, the Christian has far better on ahead because death is not the end. The problem is for the unbeliever. Think of the world we live in today. Think about those terrible adverts of the conditions in Africa.
Think of the mindless mayhem, the perverted society, the atrocities that are happening daily. And you want to know something for the unsaved? That's the best it's ever going to be. This world's the best it's ever going to be. Soon, all this will pass away. And then, having lived without the Lord, you'll be forever without Him. Common attitude among those who are not saved is, everything will all work out in the end. The truth, everything won't be all right in the end. Because as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Oh, dear friend, tonight, have you got a future? You see, on this eve of His resurrection, you can take Him as your own and personal Savior and have your future forever sure. And here's the great truth as we finish, as we sang before we preached. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow, no matter what it holds. I wonder, dear friend, have you got a hope for the future? The truth is this, Christ is alive. He lives to be your Savior. But He'll never force Himself upon anyone. And so if God has been speaking to you tonight, why not come and accept Him as your own and personal Savior? If Christ be not raised, the Christian has no foundation. He has no faith. He has no forgiveness. He has no future. But thanks be to God that because He is risen, we have a steadfast, immovable foundation. We have an unwavering faith. Thank God we have eternal forgiveness. And what a wonder that we've got a blessed future in heaven. What about you? What about you? Let's pray.